management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/besure.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Billy, your gas light's on. We need to stop and fill up.
No way, Jen. Gas around here is too expensive. We can make it a little further.
Billy, listen to your big sister. You don't need to drive all over searching for the lowest gas prices. Do what I do and use Upside.
Upside?
Do you live under a rock, Billy? Upside is the hottest cashback app out there. It's free to download, and you get real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I use it all the time, and I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying the gas you have to buy anyway?
Yes, I'm looking at the Upside app now, and there's a gas station at the next exit offering 25 cents per gallon cash back.
Okay, I'm stopping to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code START to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, to PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code START for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code START for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. At least six people are injured, police say, and a suspect in custody after an active shooter incident at Florida State University in Tallahassee. When shots rang out, FSU issued an emergency alert telling people to shelter in place. ABC's Victor Oquendo says the FBI also on scene, and it could take time to clear the area.
That is a massive, it is a sprawling campus. If this did happen at the student union in the middle of the day on a Thursday, I can't imagine how many students, like teachers, how many people would have been around that student union right now. Last check, Florida State University is still telling their students to continue to shelter in place.
Students who were able to evacuate reacting to the shooting.
It's definitely shocking to me right now. Generally, Florida State University is a very safe campus. I know they have a good amount of police presence.
President Trump at the White House says he's been briefed and called the shooting, quote, horrible. This is ABC News. An Israeli humanitarian zone in Gaza struck overnight by Israeli defense forces. That strike on the encampment near the southern city of Khan Yunis reportedly killed 10 members of one family. ABC's Matt Rivers says Israel's block on aid into Gaza remains, with food and water dwindling.
One of these tent encampments was an area called Mawasi, which is sort of near Khan Yunis, that has largely been a place the IDF has directed people to go as a so-called humanitarian zone. So when we're seeing these sorts of strikes there, inevitably civilians are killed, and that's exactly what we saw last night. And this comes off the IDF saying they now control roughly 30% of Gaza territory, which has many people thinking that's just laying the groundwork for an eventual military occupation.
Eli Lilly says it's making progress on its weight loss drug. This one does not require injections. The major pharmaceutical company says it's a once-a-day pill. It shows promising results in late-stage trials involving type 2 diabetes patients. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Good morning, Doctor.
Doctor.
Hi, Doctor.
Doctor?
Dr. Jackson's practice is growing.
What do you mean we're still short-staffed?
He needs a good patient doctor.
How do we not have enough doctors to doctor all these patients?
And he doesn't have the patience to sift through hundreds of resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples prints it all.
Oh, you bet. Posters, banners.
Can you print it all for Mother's Day?
Oh, of course. Photo gifts like canvas prints, photo puzzles.
Can you print it all for graduation?
Sure can. Custom cards and invites.
Can you print a huge banner with the grad's picture?
Oh, definitely.
Even an embarrassing baby picture?
Oh, those are the best kind.
I know, right?
Print it all for moms and grads at Staples. And right now, get 40% off custom cards, invites, and photo gifts. N75 exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. A change of venue requested for the teen accused of killing Lily Peters 3 years ago has been denied.
Court officials issued the denial on Wednesday, saying the defense team needs to craft a thoughtful jury questionnaire to weed out any potential bias or prejudice. Another loss for the 17-year-old's legal team, who had argued that the trial can't be conducted fairly in Chippewa Falls due to the high-profile nature of the case. They also unsuccessfully argued to have the case moved to the juvenile system, which the judge said would have diminished the severity of the charges, including sexual assault and homicide. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Democratic lawmakers say a green amendment to the Wisconsin Constitution could ensure future generations have a clean and safe natural environment. Beloit Senator Mark Spreitzer.
This is not a partisan issue. It's a Wisconsin issue. Protecting the lakes we fish in, the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the lands that support our communities and economy benefits us all.
The amendment is unlikely to be taken up in the Republican-controlled state legislature. Constitutional amendments must pass two consecutive sessions before going before voters for approval. Wisconsin congressman weighs in on Trump tariffs.
Second District Democrat Mark Pocan calls the current situation incomprehensible.
I really can't keep up with where we're at on tariffs. All I do know is you can do tariffs the right way. And there is a right way to do tariffs, targeted tariffs.
Pocan says a targeted tariff policy would require a plan.
But just throwing tariffs without a plan, without any kind of strategy whatsoever, is just throwing a tax on to consumers here in the United States.
Pocan says there's at least a possibility some nations will negotiate with the administration during the latest 90-day pause. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with high temperatures reaching the low 60s and scattered showers rolling in late this afternoon. As they continue through this evening, chances of thunderstorms are also possible, bringing the risk of hail. We're expected to pick up around a half an inch of rainfall. Bathroom remodels for only $99 a month. Call BCI Bath and Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 58.
The holiday shortened week ended with slight losses in corn, soybeans, and bean meal, mixed trade in wheat, and gains in the bean oil market. Milk futures were higher, cotton pushed to the upside, lean hogs were slightly higher, and cattle futures chased the cash market higher into the end of the week.
From the Fridayest Thursday so far this week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Brian Split from AgMarket.net. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us here at the end of the week. Can we really say it that way? Is that okay to say it like that?
I think that's what's happening. Yeah.
I think that's what's happening. That's where we are. Yeah, Thursday for the end of the week. Mm-hmm. We've got Good Friday off and heading into the Easter weekend, 3-day holiday, as the market's wrapped up for the week. Here we are. It feels like we got here in a hurry, doesn't it?
It kind of does, yeah. The earlier parts of this day were a little blurry for me here and there.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt about it. Beautiful. We're up to 70 degrees. We've still got the wind blowing. We've got a chance of rain tonight. Yeah. Better chance of rain tomorrow here in northeast Iowa. And then when you look at that extended forecast, they're sliding more and more rain opportunities into the forecast for next week. So hopefully, the pattern will stay active and we'll get a little bit of rain going.
Yeah, we got just a small shower overnight. They're expecting more, a couple inches here in the Kansas City area, probably over the weekend. The air feels like it's starting to get a little bit sticky and the wind is coming up just a little bit. It's starting to feel a little angry outside at the moment.
It is hot to your west.
Yes.
I mean, hot.
Very hot.
Yes. It's like mid-90s just to the west of you.
That's right.
It's it is crazy out there. And of course, that's where all the energy for the storms is being cooked up. Indeed. I said it in the open. Boy, oh boy, the cash market really led the cattle complex higher into the end of the week. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the show goes on. All right, let's go ahead and get to it.
Well, Chip, July's soft red winter wheat futures spent most of this holiday-shortened week inside of last Friday's trading range as the market consolidated around the 560 level. The dominant trend in July hard red winter wheat futures is sideways, with resistance at 580 gaining strength this week. July spring wheat futures traded on both sides of 620 for the seventh consecutive session as price action consolidates. Export sales of wheat in the weekend at April 10, 76,500 metric tons. The Dominican Republic and Venezuela top the list of buyers. July HRW wheat futures 2¼ cents lower, 570. July soft red wheat up a penny and a quarter to 562¼. July spring wheat futures closed at 619¼. That's up 2¼ cents, Chip.
July soft red winter wheat futures on the week down 8 cents. July HRW down 13¼. And July spring wheat futures down 9¼ cents on the week.
Export sales of corn weekend at April 10 totaled 1.56 million metric tons, in line with trade expectations. Mexico topped the list of buyers along with Japan, Spain, Colombia, and Panama. Corn demand remains stronger than many expected, and that is helping to limit selling pressure. July corn posted an inside trading range as the market consolidates around the 490 level. July corn was lower on the week, but did manage to hold on to most of last week's solid advance. December corn futures also posted an inside trading day, but ended higher on the week. May corn futures were 2 cents lower, 482¼. July down a penny and a half to 490¼. December corn futures closed at 466, down 0.75 cents, Chip.
Yeah, here's some bear spread action for you. July corn on the week was down 6¾ cents. December corn was up 2½ cents.
Well, soybean export sales weekend at April 10 totaled nearly 555,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations, but was 74% ahead of the four-week average. Mexico topped the list of buyers, and the list did include a small sale to China. Soybean meal sales, 146,000 metric tons, were down 18% from the four-week average. Bean oil sales, 10,300 metric tons, 64% behind the four-week average. July beans spent the week between 1040 and 1060. May beans today, 2¼ lower, 1036½. July beans down 2½ cents, 1047¾. Novi beans closed at 1032½, down 1¾ cents, Chip.
Yeah, more bear spread action for you. July soybeans on the week down 5¼. November beans were 7 cents higher. July bean oil was 50 points higher, and July bean meal was down $2.80 a ton.
Well, Chip, cotton export sales, 202,000 running bales were 88% ahead of the four-week average. December cotton plunged on Monday and then clawed back those losses the rest of this week. December cotton today, 53 points higher, 68.44, Chip.
Yeah, on the week, D's cotton was down just 7 points.
Beef export sales weekend at April 10, 17,500 metric tons, 78% ahead of the four-week average. Wow. Yeah. Boxed beef trade this morning slowed from earlier in the week, but prices were higher to support live cattle futures. June fat cattle had the fifth consecutive low range opened and high range close. June fat cattle were $2 higher, 204.07½. May feeder futures, $2.45 higher, 286.85. And on the snout side, pork export sales, 20,500 metric tons, off by a third from the four-week average. But May futures closed higher for an eighth consecutive session. May lean hogs up 25 cents, 90.40, Chip.
Yeah, really quick. June live cattle up 727½. Wow. May feeder cattle up $8.15. June lean hogs on the week up $4.70. Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
I am enjoying this synthetic Friday today with the cattle on feed report to really make it feel real.
I love it. I love it. I love it. What did you see? Did you get a chance to look at the cattle on feed?
Yeah, it on feed was basically in line with expectations. Okay. As with marketing's placements were 105. I think the estimate was 103.4. All in all, I think it was pretty pretty neutral for the most part. I mean, just looking at this week's price action in cattle, it's like, wow, what a difference a week makes. And it's nice to see the volatility in the outside markets subside a little bit and see these individual assets kind of trade on their own merit as opposed to what we saw in the week prior, which was just like a light switch, risk on, risk off. So nice to see some reversion in the mean there, hopefully set up for some good opportunities next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to me a little bit more about what's going on in this cattle trade, because you got the June contract up 3.7% on the week. Monster move, and stayed away from the influence of some lower stock prices.
Yeah, it's been a nice V-shaped recovery in the cattle complex, even lean hogs as well. The cash market's really been pretty stout. And, I mean, with this week's price action, it's crazy. We're, just a stone's throw away from contract highs up 207.72 for that June contract. And that's all of a sudden within arm's reach. And last week, you probably would have thought we were crazy if we were thinking we'd be there, before the end of the month, or have the potential to be there before the end of the month. I think the cash market continues to hold firm, and the outside market, stabilizes. I think there's a real shot at it.
Yeah, cool. I'm glad you threw hogs in there, too, because June hogs were up 5% on the week. It was a major move there. Oliver, happy Easter, man.
Happy Easter to you.
All right, have a great weekend. Okay, that's Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the charts. We've got Brian Split, agmarket.net, next here on AgriTalk.
Something special is happening in America's cornfields. It's called Invita. Invita allows all crops to fix their own nitrogen and reduce fertilizer. It's helped farmers grow millions of acres of corn with less nitrogen. And less nitrogen is good for the corn, good for our farmers, and good for our planet. Invita's sustainable technology helps farmers maximize profitability with guaranteed results, which makes Invita an investment that's good for us all. Learn more at azotic.com/investor. That's azotic.com/investor.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls, and access to research. Interested in consulting? Agmarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi. We talk a lot about roots, and part of our roots is offering a little something for everyone in Bluff Country. A lot of people ask me, do you have chicken feed? Yep, sure do. Do you have fertilizer for our crops? Yep, sure do. Seed for our lawn and garden? Yep, sure do. How about hay nets for our horses? Yep, we've got that too. Strong roots help communities thrive. At Bluff Country Feed and Seed, we've got the people and products to start building your roots.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy, and they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance.
helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.57% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. The week has ended. I can't believe that we're saying that, but the week has ended. We've got a holiday shortened week.
It's a synthetic Friday today.
It's a synthetic Friday. I love that. Yeah, with the cattle on feed report to make it feel realistic and everything. Yep. I love it. All right, let's bring in Brian Split, AgMarket.net. How you doing, Brian?
Doing awesome, Chip. Thanks for having me. That last commercial made me miss my dog.
Oh.
I'll go home and hug him when we're done.
Atta boy. I'll admit I really wasn't paying that much attention to it. But, you know, hey, you got to think about your fur babies too, right?
They're important. Very important to the family, that's for sure.
That's exactly.
Big mental health boost for everybody.
There you go. All right, before we get to some of the chart work in here, Brian, just overall impression of how the ag markets are performing. Yeah. Combined the last 2 weeks, because boy, there's been a lot of volatility that's turned into some consolidation in here.
Right. So I think there's a lot of markets that have shown some really good underlying strength through all of this talk about tariffs and trade war. And if you were to look at numerous commodity charts and look at lows that were scored on March 4th, and then look for commodities that either held that low and advanced or never took out that low and have advanced, I think those commodities likely have the strongest underlying fundamental argument. There are a lot of other markets that took out that March 4th low through additional tariff concerns, made new lows, and then have recovered from there. But I like the commodities that didn't even breach the March 4th low.
Okay.
And so you've got cattle, feeder cattle. Those are two that were able to accomplish that. Corn is a market that revisited the March 4th low and held it right in front of the planting intentions and stocks report. And we've advanced higher from there. But then you think about a market like soybeans, which, when you think about a trade war with China, you tend to believe that would be a market that would be trading very heavy with that type of concern. And so what soybeans has have of right now, and we haven't finished the month at this point, but you go back to last week and mm-hmm. we were trading at the beginning of the month below the lows for the month of March on May soybeans. And now, as we get to the halfway point of the month, we are now trading above the March monthly highs. So again, we haven't finished the month. We haven't sealed that monthly reversal higher.
Right.
But it's definitely a possibility. So I think the ag commodities in general, with all of the talk and everything that's gone on over the last couple of weeks, have performed very well.
Yeah. Excellent. Let's start the chart analysis with market that I think has just shown some real incredible resilience in the face of the volatility that we've looked at out there, and that's in corn. I know that we were lower on the week in the old crop contracts here this week, but all in all, it's been doggone impressive. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, you know, and take the lower on the week with a grain of salt, because we did finish the week last week pretty much right on the stinking high of the week. It was like a half cent off the high of the week with some very sharp gains for the week. So to me, the main goal of the week after last week, what did we accomplish, right? So we had the report, and what we were able to do was we were able to, number one, and I'm going to go back to that early March low, that March 4th low, which we mentioned that date. If you go back to a May corn chart and you look at the contract low that was made back in August, and then we had another low that was scored in October, that is your basic uptrend on that particular chart. So when we scored the lows on March 4th, it was right at that long-term uptrend, held right where you'd want to see it hold. So after that, we had a 35-cent bounce. Then we did come right back down, right into the planting intention and quarterly stock report. And we double bottomed at that March 4th low. So you've got two very strong lows in the May contract, just above 440. Okay. So since that double bottom, number one, we then took out that recovery high that was made on March 11th. So that was the March monthly high. And so we did that last week post-report. And I think the most important thing this week, even though we were lower on the week, is we were able to continue to close above that March monthly high. And that was at 477.5 on the May contract. Your 50-day moving average is 76.5 and your 10 days at 77.5. So I think it's really critical as we come out of this long holiday weekend that we continue to hold that level. If for some reason they are selling coming out of this long weekend and we break down below that level, we're likely to retrace a chunk of this rally that we've had from April 3rd to last Friday's highs. Mm-hmm. Now, if we can continue to hold that level and resume, it's going to look a lot like a bull flag on the chart, which the bull flag would start, you know, on April 3rd's low. We went up until April 11th, which was last Friday, and then this little pullback would be the flag component of that. So we're going to have to take out last week's highs to confirm that, and we're going to have to hold that 477.5. But if we do, then it suggests we're going to go back up and take a look at the highs that we had. And those highs are extremely important. So I'm going to fast forward. We've been talking a little bit about the May contract just because it's the front month. But we're going to be going into delivery later this month. So I do want to focus a little bit on the July contract as well.
Excellent.
Now, when we think July corn, and this is a big deal, okay, we had a high that was made in May of 2024. That was our spring high. That was our seasonal high that we broke from and ultimately went down into August for our contract lows. That high was 520. Yeah. We made a secondary high in February. That was our winter high. That was at 521.5, okay? To me, those two highs, so your May high and then your February high, that is a potential neckline of a major head and shoulder bottom on the July corn chart. The head would be down at the 421.75 low that was scored in August. That's our contract low. Left shoulder would be our February lows from a year ago. Right shoulder is our March lows this year. So we have to get through 520 to validate that pattern, but it's very simple. If you get through those two highs, the measurement is a buck higher, right? The head of the pattern is 421.75. The neckline is at 520. So basically, I think you get through 520, you get a bit above that number as we go into May and into late June, and we've got another buck to the upside through there would be how the chart looks to me.
Okay, so I'm following along as you're doing it, Brian, and that all makes a lot of sense to me. What gets us through that neckline at 521?
I think it's a combination of two things, maybe three. Right now, we don't have a South American weather component. So if that were to change and we started to become concerned about the Safrina corn crop, then that could be component number one. Right now, that doesn't seem to be on the radar. I think number two would be continuing reduction of old crop stocks.
Okay.
So if you think about the pattern of what we just went through from the USDA's perspective, they lowered the carryout for this particular crop over the course of several months with a large drop to carryout coming on the January report. And that came by way of a major reduction to production because of the yield drop. Now, I think it's more of a procedural thing. When you see yield drop that much in one report, the USDA procedurally will reduce demand to help offset part of that. And to me, when they reduced export demand on the January report, there was no other reason but that.
Right.
We weren't running at a pace that said, hey, guys, the USDA says we should be exporting this much, but we're behind pace, so let's go ahead and drop it. They dropped it solely as a function of a major reduction in production.
Right.
So then in February, everybody's like, well, they need to raise corn for export, but they weren't going to do it in February. It was just a month after they just dropped it. So that would have made them look silly. Then people thought, well, in March, they're going to do it. And they didn't do it there because they were going to get through the quarterly stock report first.
Right.
Look at the stocks, and then they're going to make their adjustments to the old crop. Yep. And then they did that in April once they had the stocks in hand. And so they raised corn for export. And really, I think based on the pace that we have currently and how we continue to move corn, despite the talk of tariffs, we should see the USDA increase corn for export further. And so then you're going to start getting to a point where old crop might be trading at a 1.4, maybe a 1.35, really close to the type of carryout and stocks to use we were trading in 2021.
Yeah.
So I think that would be part of it. And then part of the other part is inevitably we've got a weather market coming in front of us, whether it's a week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, we don't know, but that's going to be a piece of the conversation ahead.
Fantastic. Okay, man, we're making progress here. Our guest analyst today, Brian Splitt, agmarket.net. We've talked about corn. We've got several issues or charts that we want to get to in the next segment. We're going to do it all with Brian Splitt here on AgriTalk.
Ahead of planting season, the Be Sure campaign, organized by the Growing Matters Coalition, is back again to protect pollinator habitats and safeguard biodiversity across America's farmland. Since 2019, the Be Sure campaign has helped educate millions of growers and applicators on best management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/besure.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 2¼ cents lower at 570. July soft red wheat up a penny and a quarter to 562¼. May corn futures 2 cents lower, 482¼. December corn futures close at 466. That's down 0.75 cents. May soybeans 2¼ cents lower, 1036½. November beans closed at 1032½. That's down 1¾ cents. December cotton today, 53 points higher, 68.44. On your livestocks, June fat cattle were $2 higher at 204.07½. May feeder futures $2.45 higher, 286.85. And May lean hog futures up 25 cents to 90.40. Get more market news every market day. Simply visit tryprofarmer.com.
As Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work, day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB, bankers who believe in your business, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at numbersrus.com.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with high temperatures reaching the low 60s and scattered showers rolling in late this afternoon. As they continue through this evening, chances of thunderstorms are also possible, bringing the risk of hail. We're expected to pick up around a half an inch of rainfall. Bathroom remodels for only $99 a month. Call BCI Bath and Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 58.
at farmjournaltv.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are in the middle of a conversation with Brian Split from AgMarket.net. We've got some markets that we want to get to, but Brian, first, 30 seconds on this. What got you so turned on to chart analysis?
Because I did not grow up in agriculture. I had no idea what anything meant, so I had to find a way to make it make sense to me. And so while I was trying to figure out how to understand balance sheets and how the USDA behaved, if they did one thing, then they're likely to do another, just doing charts was a way for me to make sense of everything and find a way to figure out where I felt actionable levels are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. See, I was just the opposite. I grew up in agriculture. And when I got to the Board of Trade and people started showing me these charts, I was just fascinated by how the patterns would start to repeat and the predictability, yeah, of how those patterns would play out. I think it's absolutely fascinating. Okay.
Yeah, it's not perfect by any means, but definitely it's a little bit of a roadmap, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Take us to soybeans.
So I think the thing for soybeans, and this is true for both the old crop and the new crop, we had highs that were made late winter, early in the calendar year. We broke down from there into lows that were scored very early this month, and then we've recovered. Both the old crop and the new crop soybeans have recovered 62% of the break from that winter high to the lows that were scored here this month. So from a retracement standpoint, we've hit some retracement objectives that will likely be some short-term resistance. Now, I think more importantly is the 200-day moving average and how soybeans have behaved against the 200-day. You go back to May of 2024, and again, this is true for both the old and the new crop. Those spring highs last year, and we made some highs early in May, and then we made some highs late in May, those were all against the 200-day moving average. When we made our highs in winter, we had some highs in January and in February on May soybeans. Those highs were against the 200-day moving average. Mm. When we look at the November contract, again, spring highs last year against the 200-day. The highs in February of this year against the 200-day. So we are interacting with the 200-day moving average right now. As a matter of fact, the high on November soybeans today was right up against that 200-day. So there really hasn't been a meaningful move above the 200-day where we were firmly above it since about December of 2023 in soybeans.
Yeah.
So if we could get through there and if we could start to see the market bid above the 200-day, I think that would change the technical tone. And I'll revert back to corn very quickly. We got through the 200-day moving average in corn in late December of 2024, and then we consolidated against it for about a week and a half until we got that January report. So we closed above it. We went down and tested it a couple times. All right, it's still support. And then finally, the January report got us to where we went bull market mode and went up into the highs that we scored in February. But that 200-day was really the launching pad for that move that we had.
Okay.
So I think you have to treat the 200-day as resistance because it has been and continues to be. But if we can get beans meaningfully through this 200-day, close above it, then maybe that'll change the technical picture. Until it does that, like I said, you retrace 62% of the break from the winter high to the April low. You're against the 200-day. So as of right now, going home, I'm short, risking above essentially the highs that we scored this week.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, you get it close above that 1052, 1054 area, and things might be changing in there. All right, excellent. Go over to the wheat market. Which flavor do you want to talk about?
I've been trading the KC wheat and mainly the July contract. And I know you guys touched on this at the beginning, but we were in a very, very nice trading range. We've been in that trading range all month. The very first day of April, the July contract had a low of 63.5. Then on the 4th, it had a low of 62.75. Yesterday and the day before, the lows were each were 63. So I think you get the point. That's the low end of the range. The highs have been generally up against the 100-day moving average, which currently sits at 585. We've got a lot of highs that were made in around 82, 83, 85, as high as 89.5. So it's a very tradable range. We're about halfway through the month. So generally, when we dip below 570 in that 65 to 70 zone, that has been a place to not be short anymore and consider length. And when we get up into the 580 to 585 zone, that has been a place to not be long anymore and consider being short. Again, on either side, you know, having an idea of what you're risking to, you don't want to break out of the range when you're trading a range and then just leave it alone and close your eyes. That's when the, you know, when you consolidate for a month, that probably means that there's a bigger picture move coming.
Yep.
Now, the wheat is in a big trading range that goes all the way back to really July, where 550 is the low end and 650 is the upper end.
Right.
So while we're in this trading range short term, this short term trading range that we're in currently for the month is at the lower end of the big picture trading range. So,
So
if you're sitting there and you're selling the upper end of the short term range, you don't want to get caught up where if we get through 590, because then through there, we tend to see pushes up to 605, 610, 615, 625. So again, I think you have to be mindful of if you're trading a range, how much am I looking for, right, as far as my profit objective, and make it make sense what you're risking. You don't want to risk 20 cents to make 10.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, when you guys get a chance, take a look at that HRW July tracked and you can see exactly what Brian is talking about. Yeah, we've got the short-term sideways range at the bottom of the longer-term wider range, dollar-wide range. Makes a lot of sense to me there, Brian. Okay, take me to a market that I've been trying to figure out. What in the heck are we doing here? And that is soybean oil.
Well, I can tell you what I hope it's doing, and I don't know if it's the case, but I hope it's building a very large ascending triangle. An ascending triangle is comprised of two things. It's comprised of a flat base of highs, so where you're continuing to make highs at the same price over and over, yet there's an uptrend on the lows below the market, and that's what we have currently. Now, the thing with these types of patterns is they are not necessarily directional, so it doesn't mean it's a bullish pattern or a bearish pattern. It can break out of the pattern either way. But what we do have is we have an uptrend that's on the bean oil, and I'm looking at July. This uptrend started in August, then we had another set of major lows in December, then you've got another set of major lows in March. All the while, we've been making highs repeatedly around 48 to 49.
Right.
You go back to July, 48.39. You go back to November, 49.46. You go back to February, 48.69. You go back to early April, 49.01. When you look at it on a continuous chart, this market just has not been able to get back above 50. But if we can get through 50, and you know, you would ask me, well, why might corn, you know, make a move to the upside? Well, why might soybean oil make a move above 50? And maybe it comes from some actual guidance for the renewable diesel initiatives, right? And the market, we just seem to be on pause right now, waiting for something to happen. But it does look like we've built a very, very good base of support down here. I think if you get bean oil above 50, we're going to go bull market mode. And I think we're going up to 62 to 65 would be the upside objective above 50. We got to get above 50 first, and it hasn't been able to do that. So this is one of those things where it's like, hey, I'm bullish bean oil. Okay, me too. I would rather buy it on a breakout above 50 than I would buy it at 48.50, right?
Yes.
I'd rather it confirm that it's breaking out than buy it right up against highs hoping that it breaks out.
Yep.
Because if it doesn't break out through here, we're probably going right back down towards that uptrend again. Maybe that's in that 43 to 44 area, and then look for further consolidation. But again, at some point when bean oil gets above 50, I think it's going to run.
All right. We've got about 2 minutes left. I want to get both of these in. Let's give us a quick take on what's happening in cattle.
So we had another event when we've seen this before. You get a futures liquidation event and the cash market stays steady, moves higher. Then all of a sudden the futures look very cheap and then they go back up to meet cash. And when you think about the October contract, the December contract, the February contract, you know, these contracts have stayed relatively strong going into expiration. So we'll see how things pan out for April. But yeah, really, the feeder market is what's incredible to me. We made new record highs for feeder cattle. The April contract expired today, and we made a new high to 293.75. So we've never had feeders trade that high. So this is new record prices there. And that is, we mentioned that March 4th timeframe. The cattle market is another one of those that we just did not take out those March 4th lows. You know, we had a pullback with everything happening in the equities like a lot of other markets did. But if you think about June live cattle, that low that was scored this month was a pretty good ways away from that March 4th low, I think to the tune of about $8.50. So that makes this cattle market, when I think of where how we're performing relative to those March 4th lows, the cattle is performing like a superstar right now.
Okay.
We're overbought, you know, and that's happened numerous times before. So we might see some corrections. We did get the gaps on the June and the August contracts filled. So we had gapped lower from April 3rd to April 4th. Those gaps are filled. There are still some gaps remaining on some of these fall and winter contracts. I know we wanted to talk about the S&P real quick.
Hey, I got a plan for that.
All right.
I got a plan for
it.
You're going to be on with us on Tuesday. Let's get your thoughts on the S&P on Tuesday and why these lows are so critical, okay?
Perfect. Talk to you then.
Buddy, well done. Fantastic analysis. Thank you.
Thank you, Chip. Have a great Easter weekend, everybody listening.
You too. You too. Brian Split, AgMarket.net. Davis and I will be right back.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-296-1251. 800-296-1251. That's 800-296-1251.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
Lanny went to college and racked up huge debt.
A little bit over $100,000.
For a degree he couldn't use? Now what?
I had a friend that went to my computer career.
They even helped him get hired immediately after graduation.
One of the things I love about IT is that you can work from anywhere you want.
You could become an IT pro in just months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI, with zero experience at mycomputercareer.edu.
It worked for me, and I know it can work for you.
This is one student's experience. Individual results vary.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
Checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive. Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use database uses photo matching technology across multiple social media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.org.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts, so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with you, along with Chip Flory. Good conversation with Brian Splitt. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, Chip.
When patterns start to repeat, you start to pay attention.
You know what I mean?
When patterns start to repeat, you start to pay attention.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of talk about the patterns and the technicals.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm gonna throw a yellow card here.
Okay.
Ascending triangle. Is he making that up? Ascending triangle. Is that a pattern?
No. No. He's not. He's not making that up. An ascending wedge formation. Mm-hmm. You can also call that. But that is a legitimate pattern. And as he was saying, it just tells you that there's going to be a breakout. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily tell you which direction it's going to go, but
that's the thing. He says it's not directional.
Right. And it's similar to the pennant that he was talking about in July corn. Well, in corn. But a pennant or a flag is it. There's more. It tells you more about the future than what the ascending triangle or descending triangle might tell you.
Okay.
All right. And not only that, but with a pennant, there's a measuring device. You know, that's the flagpole, the height of the flagpole, and then you've got the flag. And once you've established that, I call it a bull flag, which is actually a descending pennant. But once you get above the top of the flagpole, you basically just add another flagpole to it. So if it's a 40-cent flagpole on that pennant, you add another 40 cents to it. It's one of my favorites. Yeah. See, like he was talking about, he went to the technical analysis first. I went to it second, but I'm telling you, man, once I started in on it,
mm-hmm.
it was it was just one of those things that, you know, for a markets nerd, it just pulled me in. And yeah. He mentioned the 62% retracement. You know, that's a Fibonacci retracement level. Mm-hmm. One thing that we did not talk about, and we didn't do any wave counting, that will show you how mature a move is in one direction or another. And the wave counting, you know, that's something that when I was sharing an office with Glenn Ring, I got to tap into Glenn's technical analysis and learn about Elliott Wave and the counting. And Glenn turned me on to a couple of books about it that I thought were worth reading.
Yeah.
Everybody, what I'm saying here is everybody should be able to listen to that conversation that we just had with Brian and imagine what that chart looks like and what it means for that market going forward. And in particular, when he was talking about a sideways range inside of a sideways range in wheat, mm-hmm. and that how the short-term sideways range is in the lower portion of the longer-term, broader sideways range, and the caution that you've got to have between making sales at 590 or being willing to go short at 590. Yeah, you can be willing to go short at 590 thinking, hey, this market's going to set back 10 or 15 cents. But to make sales at the bottom of the longer, you know, cash sales mm-hmm. at the bottom of a longer term sideways trading range, wait till we get back to the top, which is 80 cents above where we're at mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. So that was really good. Really good.
Yeah. If a listener had tuned in about, I don't know, 2/3 of the way through, they would have heard a discussion about bean oil, a very deep dive on the technicals in the soybean oil there.
Yep.
That person, if they only heard that part of our conversation, might get the impression that a whole lot is hinging on bean oil making a move above 50.
Yeah. There have been occasions over the past year, and I think I said it just last week. To me, bean oil is a 65-cent product. Real simply, if we could get the policymakers to put the policy out and put the support behind renewable diesel and sustainable aviation fuel that should already be in place, if we could get that to happen, your breakout of, okay, there's one other thing. The RVOs, which are separate mm-hmm. from the 45Z and renewable diesel. The RVOs, if we could get the renewable volume obligations under the RFS to line up closer with the production capacity of the industry, I think you can say goodbye to that 50-cent level and we're going to put some things in play.
Yeah.
And that can send positive vibes through the entire grain market at that point, mm-hmm. Davis.
We would definitely take some positive vibes at this point.
No doubt about it.
Wouldn't turn that down.
All right. Hey, National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook, April 23rd through the 27th, above normal temperatures over most of the country. The southern areas of the Corn Belt have the highest odds of above normal temperatures. Above normal precipitation also expected April 23rd through the 27th. Real quick on the 8 to 14 day, that's April 21st to May 1.
Hey-o.
April 25th to May 1. Above normal temperatures across the Corn Belt. Above normal precipitation in the western and northern production areas. Near normal in the eastern production areas. Hey, thank you so much for listening today. Appreciate it. We've got fresh content for you tomorrow. The markets are closed, but we got a free-for-all with Wiesmeyer, Haney, Michelson, and me tomorrow afternoon. Chris Baer and AgView Solutions. Have a blessed Easter, everyone. Be safe out there.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Day one. The hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Following today's shooting at Florida.